Praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you and I praise you. And I thank you, Father God, that you came down and met your people this morning as they worship before the throne. I thank you, Father God, that you're changing, rearranging, making us more like your Son, Jesus, every day. I thank you, Father God, for the multitude of souls that you have prepared to send into the houses of God, that you will raise up to do a great works for you in this end time harvest. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to give a prophecy. My new sounds are rising from my burning altars of worship. Did you know that your worship continues on long after the songs are over? The Lord has been highlighting to me for many months the importance of developing our own altar of worship in our daily lives, and that this year would be a year of the new song. This new song is mentioned 7 times in Scripture, but I will use only one here. Psalm 33:3 says, "Sing to him a new song. Play an instrument skillfully with a joyful shout." Holy Spirit has been wooing us for quite some time to come into his holy presence with such a gentle, sweet calling of his voice, wooing and beckoning to us, saying, "Come, come unto me in this very moment." Every place I read, I'm reading where now ministers are saying that we should be up in the third heaven, seated with the Father in heavenly places, and we should be ministering to him in praise and in worship. You in here, you should already be praising him in praise and worship. That should be your lifestyle. Every time the enemy comes at you to attack you, the first thing you need to do is, you should be doing, is praising and worshiping. I'm going to tell you, if you don't learn to do that, you're going to lose your minds mentally. I'm serious. I just heard God say that you're going to lose your minds mentally. And I'm really watching some who are backslidden, losing their mind, because they are afraid, they are refusing to worship the Father, excuse me, and they're giving in to the wiles of the enemy. Make wherever you are an altar for the Lord. You are the sacrifice. You are the altar of the Lord 24/7. Your worship continues long after the songs are over. You are the song. Worship is a way of life. Wherever you may be, driving down the road, at work, or in the shower, it doesn't matter. Worship is a way of life. You are the worship song to the Lord. Hallelujah. Your worship is 24/7. Every waking moment and every sleeping moment, in the quietness of the night, to dream the dreams of God. Your worship doesn't stop. You are the 24/7 worship house of the Lord. And right now you are part of God's eternal worship team. Now, I'm just asking you, why is it that you're so easily pulled off course? Why is it that you're always down in the molly grubs? Why is it every circumstance takes you off course? It's because you're not worshiping. You have not drawn close to the Father. God has been telling us to return back to his first love. And I know when he told me that years ago, I wasn't able to worship before he told me that. I had lost my worship. And then once he revealed to me what was going on, and I started worshiping him and returning back to him, then my life turned around again. So if you're in that boat, it's because you have not learned, excuse me, you've quit worshiping him, and you haven't learned to go back to worship. All right? You know, as I get these songs together, I think about how God had us party. He told it, we had the happy songs, partying songs. And he said, because there's going to come a time whenever we won't be able to party. We're going to have to learn to worship. And now is the time. Now is the time God's teaching us to worship because of the battle that's raging before us. Holy Spirit, quicken this song to my heart. No rock's going to take my place. No rock's going to take my place. No rock, no rock. He answered them, I tell you, if these should be silent, the stones would immediately cry out. And that's Luke 19:40. If you don't want to sing a song to him, that's fine, because the rocks will sing to him. You are a living stone in the house of my God. You are a living stone in him, one that reverberates life 24/7. Your song should be constantly going forth over and over and over again. How many of you have gotten a song in your head, and you, even when you wake yourself up, singing that song, it's God has placed that in your heart, and you just can't let go of it. The Lord is now strategically placing you by his very hand, where in days past man has tried to place you, but it didn't fit. God is doing it. Man tried to force you into a hole where you didn't belong. You have been a living stone at the, this is God speaking, by the way, right here. You have been a living stone at the altar of my God, where the greatest stonemason in the entire universe has been hammering and hammering on you. And he said, not ready yet, not ready yet. Man has been trying to make you do something that God did not want you to do. Now God is saying, you're going to do what he wants you to do. Then he went on to say, is not my word like a hammer? He said in Jeremiah, and I have been pounding on you because there were some rough places that I needed to break off to get just a perfect fit. Oh, the very rocks will cry out. So if you've been going through the hammering process, it's because God's trying to perfect you so you can praise. He's been hammering on us all, and it's been painful at times, but we can't allow our current situation to steal our song. No rock's going to take my place. No, no, no. None. I don't care what you're going through. You have to learn to sing. You have to learn to praise him. You have to learn to keep on going no matter what's going on around about you. Your personal praise 24/7 when no one else is watching will be your primary weapon for your breakthrough. See that? You and God are a majority. Holy Spirit sang this phrase, I'm looking for one, I'm looking for one. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord move about on all the earth to strengthen the heart that is completely toward him. See, if your heart is completely towards God, it says here he's going to strengthen your heart. Isn't that what he says? Can I find one who has made an altar of worship when no one's watching? Come on. You need to do this. One that has brought down the fire of God to already consume the sacrifice that is worshipped at my feet before they stand in the pulpit for your other sacrifice. Let's sing that. Let's read that again. One that has brought down the fire of God to already consume the sacrifice that has worshipped at my feet before. Everybody wants to stand in the pulpit, but nobody wants to pay the price. Before they stand in the pulpit, for you are the sacrifice. You are the fuel for my fire, and you are going to release a new sound and the new song in your own life, at your own altar, and give a shout of praise when no one else is around. Come on. Psalm 33:3 says, sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Sometimes you got to release a shout or a scream or whatever it is, You have my permission right now to shout unto the Lord, for he is good. I just saw the ones that know how to shout when they're all alone. Amen. You don't need an audience. You already practice it. For no rock is going to take my place. He is good. When you have nothing else to say, a hallelujah will do. It means let us praise the Lord or praise Yahweh. I believe one of the words for the day was hallelujah this week. You are releasing the greatest praise that you could ever speak, and it's the same in every language, the word hallelujah. It is a pure Hebrew word that, and yet is found in almost every language under the sun. Their word for hallelujah is hallelujah. Not any different. Amen. Well, let's go and see what the Hebrew word says it is. Well, hallelujah is hallelujah, and it means praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's no confusion in this word. Nobody can change. I don't care how many times they try to translate the Bible. It still means the same thing. God is raising up a people who will worship him in spirit and in truth, and that's why we sang that song this morning. We know the word, but we need the spirit with the word to be in a 50-50 balance. We know the word, but we need the spirit with the word to be in 50-50 balance. You won't be afraid of getting out of balance. Too much word and not enough spirit, the lampstand falls over and gives no light. But then, too much spirit and not enough word gets the same result. God always told me, I want my people to be well balanced. So I'll give you things that will balance them out. And see, the problem with the body of Christ is they're not well balanced. They get on one road and they stay there. They don't receive everything that God has for them. God's looking for the worshiper. Number one, you will worship at his feet before you stand in his pulpit. Number two, you will be a worshiper before you ever teach the word or play before the thousands. Number three, you will worship in the fields before anyone invites you to the party. So let's go over that again. God's looking for the worshiper. Number one, you will worship at his feet before you stand in his pulpit. And those who are stood in his pulpit before they learn how to worship, we're in the right place with God. Number two, you'll be a worshiper before you ever teach the word or play before thousands. The reason why you're not getting very far in when you're preaching or teaching is because you haven't learned yet to be a worshiper. And number three, you will worship in the fields before anyone invites you to the party. In other words, you'll worship when you're all alone before God invites you to the pulpit. Amen. Little David was not invited. He was worshiping in the field at his own altar. Samuel asked, is there another? Jesse, are all of your sons here? The oldest, handsomest, smartest, tallest, and strongest were all brought before Samuel, the Lord's prophet. And 1 Samuel 6:7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. See, God's saying, don't look at them on the outward, you know, what they look like. They might be handsome, they might be, you know, whatever. But God said, I know the heart. I'm looking at the heart. And David was a worshiper. He learned to do that at a very young age. The one young man I told you about, we sing his songs like we did this morning. He started worshiping when he was 4 years old. And God's using him mightily for his kingdom. Did I tell you, whenever he went out into the world, he was making $1,000 a minute in a hard rock band. But he chose to go back to God. Are you listening? Because he was a true worshiper. God is looking for one with the heart of God. What made David so special? Was he perfect? We know absolutely not. He had the heart of God, and when you mess up, you are quick to repent. You have the heart of God. He's not looking for perfection because we've all missed the mark. But he has been molding and shaping the heart of the worshiper. Come on. I have news for you. God said you're never going to be perfect. But he works with imperfect things and makes them perfect. All right. So if you're waiting till you talk just right or act just right or dress just right or walk just right, you're never going to do anything for God. Those that he calls, he equips. He will do what he needs to do with you so you can do the thing he called you to do. The Lord sees you all as the Marys who have broken open your alabaster box while worshiping at Jesus' feet. When no one else in the room was willing to honor Jesus for who he was. See that? They had a meal in his honor, in Jesus' honor, and it was customary to anoint the guest. But no one was willing to honor even Jesus at a meal planned for him, just for him. But Mary broke open everything she had, a year's wages at his feet. The disciples thought it was a waste. See that? They didn't even honor Jesus, but Mary did. I'll never forget the night God told me, I brought the alabaster box to your feet. You know, and I just sat and cried and cried. I was going through a very, very rough time in my life, but God brought the alabaster box to me. Are you listening here? I'd learned to worship God from day one, and I always do worship Father no matter what I'm going through, and God honored me for that. So, you know, God will honor you for what you do. He really will. All right, the disciples thought it was a waste of her pouring out her oil. To the world, it will be a waste. Your worship will be foolish and a waste of time. But you're building an altar of his anointing for your own life, and that's all you need. You know, a lot of people don't understand our worship in here. You know, I go with whatever God's telling us to do. First of all, they didn't like the loud music because it was too loud. Now they don't like the worship music because it's too slow. You know, that's because they aren't a worshiper. They really aren't sold out to God. You know, if you really are sold out to God, you won't care what God's singing. You'll just do it because it's God doing it. For you are my anointed one, says the Lord. O my Davids, I am calling you out from the fields, from the place of worship. I'm in need of you. I am in need of you now. I'm pouring out my alabaster box of costly perfumes upon you now with the anointing of my son. And this is the anointing of kings. See, those of you who have learned to worship at his feet, he's now calling you forth so you can fulfill your calling on your life. You're a king in my kingdom with a small k, says the Lord. You are my kings. Right now, this anointing is yours that establishes you as my kings. It doesn't matter about male or female. God's not looking at gender. For there are females who are called to preach my word in the earth and to call fire down out of heaven. For now is your time. I have called you for such a time as this. Yeah, I want to stop there and just say, you know, you guys, you need to get your acts together, and you need to learn to be a worshiper, and you need to learn to really walk a holy, righteous life, and so that the women of God can have a man by their side that they can respect. You know, God really does want to use the men, but the men are not yielding to what God's calling them for to do, and so he has to use the women. And so the men are putting the women down, and you are totally against God right now when you do that. If you would be doing your job, you know, God wouldn't have to call on the whole female generation. He wants male and female. And when you're married, he wants both of you following God, just not one of you. He wants you to be in unity, one mind and one accord. Are you listening to this? I'm totally surprised at how men are putting down women preachers. I really don't care myself. But if you were doing your job, then God wouldn't have to do that. The women, believe it or not, men and women would be content to walk by your side and be your helpmate. But because you won't do your job, then God has to anoint the women. Are you listening? So he says, for now is your time. I have called you for such a time as this. Oh, my mighty Davids, come in out of the cold. Come out of the fields, for I am pouring out an anointing of my kings with my power and authority to establish my kingdom here in the earth. The anointing of my son David in the lineage of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, his anointing in unlimited portion. God wants to pour out his spirit on all people, all flesh. And he wants the anointing without limits. He just wants the anointing of heaven poured out upon you. So wherever you go, you have heaven with you, and heaven will open up its windows, and you'll be able to touch every life that you come in contact with. Don't you understand the reason why you don't have that anointing without measures? Because you haven't learned to give your circumstances over to God. Are you hearing this? You haven't learned to do that. You haven't learned to trust God in every area of your life. And so instead of you worshiping, you're always complaining, always thinking about the problem at hand. And you're drawing yourself away from God. You're destroying your anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And see, because you don't have the anointing on your life, the yoke in your life is not broken. You have to, the yoke in your life has to be broken before it can reach any, you can reach anybody else. Are you all understanding this? God said there's so many examples he could use, but he's not going to use them this morning. He wants you to understand for yourself that you are God's chosen vessel. But he can't work through you until you learn to be a worshiper. Until you learn to quit moaning, groaning, and complaining, or quit trying to be the big one. You know, there's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. All you are is just a little vessel that he wants to work through. Amen? Come on. Where am I at, Nancy? You have to get... All right, let's go. The anointing of my son David in the lineage of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, his anointing in unlimited portion. You have to get that word unlimited. It is unlimited, this anointing he's pouring out. Just receive it all by grace right now. This is a now moment. He's pouring out his anointing right now in this moment. If you don't get it now, you're not going to get it. You're going to miss God. I'm going to tell you that right now. There's an urgency in the atmosphere that we get what God's doing right now. Not tomorrow, but right now. We have to get ourselves in position that we can receive everything that God's pouring out right now. How big is your cup? How wide is your cup? How wide and how deep is the love of God? Well, you have a little teacup. Or you have these great big coffee cups that some coffee mongers have to have. You know, how big is your cup? How much do you want of God? He's not going to stop until you say when. And until you say when. Until you don't want any more or can't take any more. God's just going to keep pouring that anointing in you, pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. And you say, God, stop, I can't take it. Don't say that. Don't say when. Just don't say stop. Just let him just keep pouring it into you. Because we need this anointing without measure to minister to that dark, dark world that's out there. Come on. The world is dark. And those that are walking in darkness do not want to hear anything about God right now. They don't. But if the church would get its act together and God could pour that anointing into our vessels without measure, they wouldn't have a say-so in it. Just the fact when you walked into your into their presence, they would have to bow their knee. Right? Come on. No, well, then he goes on to say, anointings to preach my word in the earth, anointings for my revelation of my line between line, his word. I'm going to open up the word, and I'm going to share my heart's desire with you. God opened up the word to me at 4 o'clock this morning. I thought, I've read that thing out now many times. And today I understood what it said. He's going to open up the word to us. And I'm going to reveal deep mysteries of my heart to my Davids in this hour. He's trying to get a group of people that will die after their self, learn to worship, that he can tell you the very secrets of heaven. And I don't care what God has spoken over your life. If you don't get in line with God, they're never going to come to pass. You can sit there all puffed up as you want to, but if you don't get yourself lined up with God, that word is not going to come to pass. You can't keep living an unholy life, an unrighteous life, and you can't keep going out there dwelling in the things of the world and expect God to use you mightily for his kingdom. It's not going to happen. And see, the body of Christ believes they can do whatever they want to do just because God spoke it. Many are called, few are chosen. When God speaks those things in your life, he's calling you. And then he's saying at that point, start getting it together. Start working towards that calling that I've just called you to. You can miss your calling by doing some of the dumbest things. You really can. Get it together today. You don't have any more time to linger around the pool. You have to jump in and get drowned or just stay out altogether. Preachers, you will preach my words with a fresh fire, with a new powerful anointing that will break the yoke like never before. You see that? Some of you couldn't preach the word to break any yoke because you have too many yokes in your own life. But you want to preach. I want to preach, I want to preach, I want to preach. What are you going to preach? A false gospel? false doctrines. You can't, if your yokes are not broken, you cannot preach. Come on. You will see the captive set free with my word in the power and demonstration of my spirit, says the Lord. For this is a new day, the dawning of a new day where I'm making all things new. Why not allow him to make all things new in your life? He's been trying to do that for years upon years upon years. Let him complete the work. I'm speaking Revelation 21:5. I'm making all things new, everything. Your ministries are going to be new and fresh, unlike anything else you've ever seen. There will be no point of reference for what God is about to do in your ministry because it's not anything like the old. Are you understanding this, Barbara? It's not, you know, it's what God's calling you to do in the glow is not, it's not like the old. It's something brand new. And, you know, this is the problem. We don't want to change. And, you know, whenever something in the body of Christ doesn't want to change, God will start calling new people in. He will start anointing new people so that he can work through those new people to do the things he wants to do. So many of you in here, you have really missed the boat more than one time. It's all because you would not let go of the stupid things of your flesh. You kept holding on to things that were killing you. And now you're saying, Lord, why aren't you using me? He's not using you because you wouldn't let go of the old so he could bring the new. All right? All right, we're talking about your ministries now, preachers. It won't look the same. It won't sound the same. It will be completely new and completely fresh. God's pouring out this anointing upon you now to equip you for every good work in Christ. He is sending you out, but not in name only, but fully weaponized. You won't lack any one good thing. Your cup runs over. You'll have too much. And the secret of the kingdom is just to keep giving it away. Freely you have received, freely give, and the more you give, the more you'll receive. That's it. Don't ever say when. Don't ever say stop pouring it, because you want to keep giving it out. You'll never run empty. You will feel that anointing all the time. Everywhere you go, no matter how much you pour out, you'll always feel it because your cup will always be full. You will preach my word with my fire, says the Lord. You'll preach my word with a fresh fire and fresh anointing like you have never known before, for I am taking the coal and touching your lips to cleanse and purify your speech. You've said, here I am, but you haven't let him touch your lips yet. How do you not let him touch your lips? You won't let go of the old. You won't let go of the past. You keep holding on to the circumstances. You have to let go. It's the anointing of Isaiah 6 in the throne room as the seraphim cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. For it is through your worship, as you cried out, holy, 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 the coal is going to touch your lips and bring my refiner's fire in you to speak my words in the earth. Are you hearing this? You know, like with little Isaiah, like what I told Aaron, leave him alone. Once he gets that way, you've lost him. Just leave him alone. And, you know, with the death of his grandfather, he thought him as a father, and he thought he was a family. His family has been fragmented. And so it's fragmented him, too. And, you know, and he sits and talks to him all the time. He gets awake at night crying and saying, Papa, why did you leave me? Please come back to me. This is what's wrong with him. This is why he's acting the way he is. He's fragmented right now. But I can't get other people to understand that. So they keep trying to make him do something he's not going to do because his little spirit is all messed up. You know, and it's only, you know, I have to lay, you know, because he can be a handful, and I have to just keep praising God that I have him. You know, because one day I said, God, if this is just really too much, just keep me from your work. Then I said, no, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I really didn't mean to say that. I just praise and thank you that you put me in his life so I can be a safe haven that he can run into. You see what I'm saying here? Come on. And I have to just keep worshiping God. And when the devil really acts up, because the devil and him can really act up really bad some days, all day long. And it really takes a toll on you if you don't know how to worship. And I try to explain that to some people in the house, and they don't understand. He needs a good beating. No, he doesn't. Are you understanding this, guys? And see, we need that anointing. We need that worshiping spirit within us where we worship instead of reacting the way the devil would act. All right? This will literally consume every sacrifice around you, this anointing. If there's a tree within 100 miles around you, my fire will consume it. Now, my people are trees, and my word will consume every tree around you. You will cause forest fires wherever you go in Jesus' mighty name. You'll set the world on fire, and I'm seeing many mighty forests yet to be consumed, and I'm seeing many blazing forest fires all across the USA and into the nations of the earth. Now, in many places in Scripture, people are trees symbolically. You are oaks of righteousness. You are the palm trees, cedar trees, and olive trees, the sweet fragrance of the Lord. Humanity is seen in the burning bush, a tree set on fire with the glory of God. I'm seeing the church as many burning bushes coming together to form one mighty forest fire in this time. Are we one of those? No, don't say yes, because you'd be lying. We are not in unity. We still don't know how to worship. We're still on the backside of the desert trying to figure out, do I want to get rid of this or do I want to hang on to it? You see what I'm saying? Now, if the shoe fits, put on, done, then don't worry about it. But I'm telling you, right, some of you in here, you're self-deceived. You think you're all right, and you're not. You've got to get it together. You have to make a decision to follow God 100% and stay there. And quit procrastinating. Quit going this way 1 second and going another way another second. Either follow Christ or quit. Because all you're doing is being a stumbling block for those that God wants to be saved. You are my burning bushes. You are the sacrifice, the altars of my worship. You are humanity set on fire with the glory of God, with nothing left to be consumed in you, where everything else is burned to a crisp, says the Lord your God. You are humanity set on fire with the glory of God, with nothing left to be consumed in you. In other words, you've allowed God, you've given him everything, and there's nothing in there that will hold you back from doing the things that God would have you to do. You've allowed his consuming fire to go in there and consume everything. Quit, I'm hearing God say, quit going backwards. You go backwards because you are refusing to allow God to have full and complete control over your life. Come on, you don't want to let go of those things because somewhere along the line they bring you satisfaction, and that's sick. When you're tormented all the time, how can that bring you satisfaction? Are you understanding this? That's not possible. Let go of the old so God can bring in the new. Let him do the perfect work inside of you so that when you go out there on the streets to minister to the lost and the dying, the anointing will destroy the yoke because you have no yoke in you. This is where we are right now in the body of Christ, in this hour time, and that's what we need. We need to learn to be a worshiper. We need to learn to let go of the past and step into the new. If it's not God's, we don't want it anyway. I wish the whole body of Christ could truthfully say that. If it's not God's, we don't want it anyway. And we say, God, send your fire upon this sacrifice. Send your fire, Lord. Excuse me. The body of Christ has been at a crossroads for quite some time now. Some of you have decided which way you're going to go, and others are still standing there trying to decide. What are you waiting on? The freight train isn't coming. And you could be left standing on that track and miss out on the greatest thing that God ever wanted to do with your life. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of waiting for God to do what he's going to do with my life. I want to step into that greater thing. And every day I'm purging myself more and more and more, trying to get to where God would have me to go. What I wanted to be, what he wants me to be. Not what I want to be, but what he wants me to be. God say, no sacrifice is too small or too great. God needs you. He needs every part of you, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. He needs you to be totally, completely committed and submitted to him, so that at any given second he could call upon you to minister to his lost and dying world. This church, as we have a refuge in the storm, we're not ready for that. In fact, I read a prophetic word the other day where God said, my churches are still not ready to minister to the lost and dying. And I cried, and I said, God, how true? God's always true, but how true? We're so wrapped up in our own little world and our own little problems that we couldn't help anybody else that come through the door. And that's a shame. You can't even get up out of your seat when a new person comes in and go over and say hello to them, you're too busy sitting in your seat. You see what I'm saying? If you just get up and go hug somebody, tell somebody you're glad to see them, you'd be surprised what that will do for you. It'll bring you freshness and newness of life. Well, I got a job. I got to sit back here in this corner, you know, and watch my kids. Well, you know what? You're going to keep watching your kids from now until the glory drops and you miss it. You have a job to do. Your job is to minister to the people come into the house of God. Not mine. I'm supposed to give the word, whether you like it or not. Your job is to minister to those who come in. You need to make them feel welcome. You make that you want. They want to see the love of Christ in you. Amen. I make it a point to anybody new I see, I always say hello to them when I come in. I look around. I see who's here. You know, then I even say hello to you guys as I go by your seats. I could walk in here and say, I'm the king. Sit in my little pompous chair and do nothing. That's not God. That is not God. God said he wants each one of you to be a refuge in the storm. In other words, he wants your vessel so full of him that when somebody's having a problem, they'll run to you. Are you listening? The Christ in you for refuge. They'll know that you're a safe haven. They'll know that you'll have the right word to say in season for them. Are you listening here, guys? Some of you wouldn't, if somebody ran to you for help, you'd just say, well, I see demons all over you. You know, well, you had demons all over you too one day. Come on. Now, we don't worry about the demons. What we do is we take the love of Christ that's supposed to be in us, and we put that love of Christ in somebody else. And if you really had enough love of Christ in you, that anointing in that love would destroy the yoke, the demons in that person. And you know, with little Isaiah, when them devils really get dacked up, I'll say, in the name of Jesus, you're leaving. He'll say, I will not. I said, oh, yeah, you will too. He's in one end of the room, I'm on the other. And I said, you leave right now in the name of Jesus. 5 minutes later, Isaiah is screaming, get out of me and leave me alone. And it leaves. I'm not on top of him. I'm not breathing my breath on him. I'm on the other side of the room. But the devil knows he has to leave. Are you listening? What do you do? Do you sit and entertain that devil? Do you let him do whatever he wants to do? Some people in my house, Isaiah's dad says, Mom, sometimes I think you're nuts. I say, I'm nuts for Jesus. And I know what power and authority I have, and I'm not going to let it do. He's just acting out in his flesh. I said, you think what you want to think, and I know what I know. And when I tell the devil to leave, and then finally Isaiah does, it leaves. It keeps saying, I don't have to go. So Isaiah tells it to go, and Isaiah tells it to go, and it goes. Are you understanding this? How much glory, how much anointing do you carry? Is the devil afraid of your voice? Does he not even want to get in your presence? Because he knows that he'll be uncomfortable when he has to leave. Isn't that what happened with Jesus? Every time he walked in that place, the devil started carrying on like crazy. What do you have to do with me, Jesus? What they do with y'all, they just come and say, hi, how are you today? And pat you in the back and shake your hand. Because they're not afraid of you. Because you have no power, no authority. Are you understanding this? Come on. How many of you said, here I am, Lord, use me? You don't have to put your hand up, but just today God wants to put the hot coal in your lip. That's what this is all about. If you really want to be used by God, then God wants to, you come up here and God wants to put that hot coal in your lips, and he wants to change you where you would really be a vessel of honor that he can work through. Come on, it's quit playing time. It's time to get dead serious with God. I don't want you coming up here and leaving the same as you came. I want you to be changed. Amen? Come on. Be changed. Let the fire of God change you. All right, I said, we say, God, send your fire upon the sacrifice. So you're laying out there saying you're the sacrifice. And you're saying, Lord, send your fire upon me right now. Purge, cleanse my lips, purge my total being of anything that's not of you. Come on now, just receive it right now. You don't have to wait 10, 15 minutes for the glory to fall. The Spirit's already fallen on you.